Ladies and gentlemen, this is Finding the Funny. Host Nico McEwen. Hey there, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 4 of Finding the Funny right here on CITR. As always, I'm your host, Nico McEwen, and here's what we have in store for today. This episode, episode 4, is called Classic Comedy.
Ha ha ha! Classic comedy!
So when I say classic comedy, what I'm referring to is basically North American stand-up from roughly the 1950s, 1960s, basically up until the late 1980s, just because that's kind of the time period of stand-up comedy that I think most growth, I guess you could say. And for a lot of listeners today, you probably don't know as much about stand-up comedy then or about comedians back then who were amazing, and obviously a lot of their stuff holds up today. So mostly just going to be playing some awesome bits from really old stand-up specials, and enjoy. So according to the always trusted Wikipedia, I'm kidding, of course, I know Wikipedia is a joke, but it's where I'm going to right now for this information. Mark Twain is one of the first United States comedians it references, not as much a stand-up as a humorist who... Yeah, he does humorous monologues. Basically, once it starts getting into the stand-up comedians that I know, there's Jack Benny, Bob Hope, and those are basically the first I'm going to be playing in this episode of Classic Comedy. I really hope you guys enjoy, and I'll be talking about it. If anything doesn't hold up today, maybe we can figure out why and what might have made it even funnier back then. This first clip of the episode, I'm really excited to play for you all. This is Jack Benny from the Jack Benny program. You can find this on YouTube, so if you want to hear more, look it up on YouTube. This is the episode, My Gang Comedy.
I'm terribly sorry. This is so embarrassing. You know, lately, when I make my entrance without my glasses, I don't know where to stop. I keep walking right on through, you know? In fact, last week's show, the stage door was open, and I did my monologue in the middle of the freeway. And people were hollering, get off, get off. But I thought it was my regular audience. But, you know, at first, I only had to wear these glasses for reading, you see. And then finally I had to wear them to go to the movies. And now, if I don't put them on before I go to bed, I can't dream. But look, at my age, what I dream, I don't need glasses.
Ladies and gentlemen, that clip from the Jack Benny program was first aired on October 30th, 1962. So that is the year that that joke is from, or that bit, and now we're going to talk about it a little bit. So you may have noticed that is actually an opening monologue. That's right. The Jack Benny program was a radio TV comedy series. It ran for a long time, and Jack Benny's obviously the kind of main character, slash he's playing himself, and they do kind of sketches, and it's almost a variety show, I guess you could say, centering around comedy. They have different guests on the show, and yeah, that was the opening monologue, which I think in itself is something that's possibly controversial in the comedy world, whether people consider opening monologues to be stand-up comedy. It's obviously very similar. Today's talk shows, opening monologues are almost all about politics and the news, which obviously stand-up comedy doesn't necessarily have the ability to be as immediate with its work, I guess you could say, since a comedian is performing the same stuff all over, and it's usually with a comedian for at least a year, a couple of years. I don't know what the norm would be now. And talk shows are nightly, so it's different. But that was the opening monologue, and as you can tell, it's very stand-up in its nature. I really hope you guys enjoyed that bit from the Jack Benny program. As you can hear, it's a cleaner set, I guess you could say, or bit, because it's pretty short. But I don't know if that's a fair comparison, as this is for a television program, which had different rules. But that's also worth noting, is that TV has also changed its kind of circumstances and what comedy is and isn't allowed to do and say. But yeah, that bit is still a really well-written bit. The fact that you don't need glasses to dream is genius. It's just so simple. It's one of those things that, like, anybody could have thought about it. It's really naturally funny because it's two things that don't make sense. So now we're going to move on to our next bit. But first, we're going to have an ad from one of our sponsors. So enjoy this ad.
Understand more about fashion. We asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. It's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture.
We are back, Finding the Funny, coming to you live from CITR. One thing I want to mention before we play our next clip is anybody and everybody who is listening right now on the radio, at home, or in their car, or wherever, or if you're listening on SoundCloud, as we will be posting these all on SoundCloud as well. They're available on the CITR website. All the shows are created into a podcast, and you can listen to it there. Obviously, on the CITR website, Finding the Funny is the show. But one thing I wanted to mention is that if you have any thoughts or questions or feedback for anything we're talking about in the show, anything you want to add your own personal thoughts on, just tweet us at Finding the Funny on Twitter. That is Finding the Funny on Twitter. We're always excited to hear from you guys, the listeners. And yeah, so please give us a shout out. One other thing we absolutely have to talk about right now, everybody, it is the CITR Fun Drive, March 9th to 17th. So it has just concluded, and we raised $26,422.27. And yeah, we're really appreciative to everybody that donated, and make sure you are ready for the next time we have our Fun Drive, because we are really appreciative of all the donations. The next comedian I'm playing is a personal favorite of mine. This is going to be a bit from one of George Carlin's specials. If any of you know George Carlin, he is kind of a different style of comedian, especially in regards to Jack Benny, who I just played. George Carlin was definitely one of the first to push the limits, I guess you could say. I think he was one of the first to actually have an HBO stand-up special, too. So here's a bit from George Carlin. As a station, we here at CITR believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit. This may include content that could be construed as offensive. If you or anyone around you is sensitive to such material, please feel free to tune out of this program and tune back in for a later program. You've been warned. Enjoy.
They kept referring to them. They called them bad words, dirty, filthy, foul, vile, vulgar, coarse, in poor taste, unseemly, street talk, gutter talk, locker room language, barracks talk, bawdy, naughty, saucy, raunchy, rude, crude, lewd, lascivious, indecent, profane, obscene, blue, off color, risque, suggestive, cursing, cussing, swearing, and all I could think of was shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits.
That's all I have.
Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. That was my original list. I knew it wasn't complete, but it was a starter set, you know? Shit, piss, fuck. Yes, WBAI is the one who played them. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. Now, that was the original list. We've added a few words since then. We've added fart, turd, and twat. And I know there are some other words that many of you are wondering about, why they haven't been considered, why they haven't shown up on the list thus far. We're looking at them all very closely. Some of your favorites might make the list this year. Asshole, ball bag, hard on, piss hard, blue balls, taint, nookie, snatch, box, pussy, pecker, peckerhead, pecker tracks, jism, joint, doniker, dork, poontang. Cornhole and Dingleberry.
So that is one of George Carlin's most famous bits. It's called Seven Dirty Words. As you obviously heard, the crowd got pretty excited when they knew he was going into the bit. And basically, the seven words that you heard, I won't recite them since he does it so well, are his like main kind of, like he said, list. And then in this particular special, he extends that list, ending in Dingleberry, as you heard. And one of the reasons why this was so funny to the crowd at that time was because it was pretty revolutionary, I guess you could say, to literally have a bit dedicated to saying things that aren't socially acceptable. That really obviously got the more rebellious and even the more shy crowds going, I guess you could say, just because comedy is also that surprise factor, right? So this was definitely a surprise every time the audience would hear it. And I think even bits today still utilize the kind of exaggerated craziness that that you can have, and that's obviously what he's doing. He's literally saying one word and saying a bunch of different words that mean the same thing. No actual, like, strung together thought process, I guess you could say, but it's still really funny because he's just going further and further and further with it. If you haven't seen any of George Carlin's material, you have to go listen to it. I think he's one of the smartest comedians of all time. Check out Euphemisms. It's on YouTube. And he starts basically going into the progression of the word shell shock becoming post-traumatic stress disorder. And I think you guys will really like it. Do not go anywhere, listeners. We're going to be right back after an ad.
Bike Rave is a fundamentally unique event. It's a mobile dance party that explores UBC's campus. Anyone can join this free event, bringing bicycles, skateboards, to get in on the fun. We group together, deck out our vehicles in bright lights, and ride to different locations, stopping at UBC landmarks to dance, socialize, and be part of the best rave on campus. This year is the 5th anniversary of Bike Rave. It's all happening on Friday, March 24th from 8 to 11pm, starting in front of the Kerner Library. Get spoked!
The comedian we were talking about before the break is none other than George Carlin. The bit is called Seven Dirty Words, and it was first performed by Carlin in 1972 in a monologue titled Seven Words You Can Never Say on Television. And this bit actually has some background because it was originally, or it's based off of, a performance by Lenny Bruce in 1966, so 6 years earlier. And Lenny Bruce, you may have heard, amazing stand-up comic and very controversial comic in his time. And he was actually arrested for saying nine dirty words. And he said them in alphabetical order. And basically, so George Carlin took that concept, took seven words from the nine that Bruce had originally done. And created this track in an album. The stand-up comedy album was entitled Class Clown. And this is one of the monologues. So far, we've played Jack Benny and George Carlin, and you've probably noticed within the first two bits that I played, really, really different content material, basically showing one of the huge shifts in stand-up comedy between the years, I believe 1962 was the first bit I played, and 1972, things really started to change in regards to what you could say in a performance, as well as what audiences were interested in hearing said, the, I guess, political and social climate started to get more tense in the United States. People started to utilize more extreme language. It's this part in the show that I usually would talk about some of Vancouver's specialties for whatever topic I'm discussing, but as today's discussion is classic comedy and kind of hit more historical aspects, which I guess you could say Vancouver doesn't really have much of. Vancouver does have its own version of comedy, and as I've mentioned, some stand-up locations in Vancouver. I noted that Kino Cafe, I think, is one of the longest-running stand-up rooms in Vancouver. You can hear about that in my first episode, which you can find on the CITR website. But I figured for this episode, since we're talking about classic comedy, I would mention the Just for Laughs Northwest Vancouver Comedy Festival that took place this past February 16th to 25th. The reason why I think that's relevant for this type of discussion is that we had some really big names coming through here and some really top-notch specials, I guess you could say. One of the comedians that was here was Sebastian Maniscalco, who I think has definitely started to make a name for himself within, I guess you could say, the history of comedy. And I think he's definitely worth taking a look, as well as Mark Marone, who you've probably heard of. He's performing here actually March 26th, I believe. So it's coming up this weekend at the Vogue Theater. And in May, there's a comedian named Russell Howard, who I don't even know myself, but I'm sure he's probably great. So lots of fun things happening in Vancouver regarding stand-up right now, as our, I guess you could say, stand-up community has really grown in the past few years. The fact that Just for Laughs extended their parameters for their festival out to Vancouver has been a huge help. I think they started coming over here in 2015, and this year was another great run for it. So that is our classic comedy talk for Vancouver. All right, let's get back to the bits. This next comedian, I'm sure you've heard of, he's going to round out our classic comedy special, or not special, but episode here at Finding the Funny. And ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for none other than Richard Pryor.
But when you get them feeling somebody touches that shit inside you, that shit be fucking with you. When they make you mad, and women, I don't give a fuck. You all can be so cool about turning a motherfucker off. You love when a motherfucker be in love with you, because you can be some nasty bitches. When the motherfucker, darling, please don't let me, just give me the... Oh, God, are you calling again? God, Richard, please, just don't do this to yourself. I mean, why don't you go home and bathe or something like that? Just don't call here anymore. Just a minute, John. How can women be so cool when you angry? Don't you tell me, I love you, don't you see? Yes, dear, I'm going for a walk. A walk? I want to fight! One night I left the house about 137 times. I did. I just said, fuck you! And then I'd have to come back like, you forget your keys, you ever leave and forget your keys? Bitch, yeah, motherfucker! Yeah, uh-huh. Bleed that shit. Yeah. You'll see. Oh, shit. Then you got to go back in the house. Why come your old lady looks so good after you've been away for a while? Right, you ever, like, get your heart broke like men here? You ever had your heart broke like men don't get their... Women get their heart broke, they cry. Men don't do that shit. Men hold that shit in like it don't hurt. Walk around and get hit by trucks. Said, didn't he see that truck? He said, motherfucker, he wouldn't have seen a 747. Because his heart was broke. Right? I mean, there's a feeling getting your motherfucking heart broke. It's like, I don't know. It's like men cannot graduate till a woman breaks your fucking heart. That is your diploma. It either kill you or make you fat. I'm talking about that heartache where your motherfucking heart be, ooh, hurting and shit, and you can't even listen to music. Shit remind like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
She reminds me of my leg. She got a nose just like Rudolph. It just...
And you go out with other women when you love. You go out with other women, don't mean shit, right? You go out with other women and they talk and they go, you hear their voice, they go, what is this bitch talking about? Why don't she just shut the fuck up? she ain't saying shit. Because it's hard to reestablish yourself with other people once you've been with a partner for a long time, right? Especially if you get a good woman that you really be in love with. And usually it's the man that fucks up. We fuck up, right? Then we can't find them motherfuckers no more. But, and when you can't find her no more, it look like she get better. Every time you see her, she be beautiful with some other motherfucker that look good. I be going, I want to kill everybody. Everybody in the world. That's how you end up in penitentiary, Jack. A lot of people in penitentiary done killed their old ladies and shit. And boyfriends and shit like to just flip out. I don't give a fuck.
So that is Richard Pryor talking about love. That is from the Sunset Strip special. I believe it aired in 1982. So another 10 years after George Carlin, we've come our full way around the 30 years of our comedians. And as you can hear, this one starts to talk about love a little bit more. And actually, this special in general talks about sex almost throughout the entire of the special. And that's kind of one of the topics that started to become really prevalent in stand-up comedy around the 1980s was talking about sex, because as you saw with George Carlin, people were starting to get more comfortable with saying dirty words, but necessarily dirty content matter wasn't ideal. But around the 80s, this was becoming more and more of a talked about topic, and Richard Pryor was definitely one of the tops in regards to that. Richard Pryor and George Carlin were very similar time periods. Pryor was also doing stand-up in the 70s, as well as Carlin, and Carlin also went through to the 80s where he was doing stand-up. But yeah, these are the two specials I picked from for these two comedians and the two bits. If you have any thoughts on comedians I should have said in this episode, feel free to message me at Finding the Funny on Twitter, and I'm always looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say. Carlin was kind of a master craftsman of the words he used in his stand-up. I like to say that he almost made them lyrical. As you obviously heard in the bit that I played earlier, he was quite good at making sure words put together in a certain way would be funny for the audience, whereas Richard Pryor is kind of more off the cuff, I guess you could say. Obviously still planned, but the impression he gives the audience is that he's just kind of talking to them very much more of a casual style. And that's one of the things I really, really admire about Richard Pryor, and I think is probably my favorite thing in all of his work, is that in all the stories that he tells and all the bits that he does, it really does feel like there's an emotional truth behind it. And this bit on heartache and love, I think he, whether it is true or not for him, he is able to give the audience that perspective that he has been through these torturous breakups, I guess you could say, and he's dealt with the women that he is discussing in this kind of bit. And I think if it wasn't for that, this bit might not work as well. One of the comedians I wanted to discuss in this episode, but ended up choosing not to, as I wanted to stick strictly to the classic sense that I was thinking of when I pictured classic comedy. But feel free to also tell me if you think I should have talked about Eddie Murphy in this special, as he obviously is a huge stand-up comic, and he broke a lot of records with his stand-up comedy. And maybe I'll try to create another episode that starts going in towards his era of stand-up, even though he was kind of close to the tail end of Pryor's career and Carlin's. But yeah, let me know if you think you'd be interested in hearing a special that talks about Eddie Murphy and some comics in the 80s, 90s. With just about 5 minutes left in this episode, I would like to recommend to all of our listeners listening today to make sure you watch the upcoming show right here on CITR 101.9. Coming up next, we have UBC Arts on Air. You can listen to the top writers, philosophers, researchers, singers, and actors in the humanities, social sciences, and creative and performing arts right here from UBC. It's sure to be an awesome show with some awesome experts, so make sure you keep on listening. That's coming up 6:30 right here on CITR. In today's episode, we discussed classic comedy, comedians I played such as Jack Benny, George Carlin, and Richard Pryor. I'd have to say for me, of the three comedians I played, George Carlin is my favorite. I've heard the majority of his work, or not majority, but at least more of his work than any of the other two. I gotta love Richard Pryor and, of course, Jack Benny as well. I think the older comics such as Jack Benny and Bob Hope, who I mentioned earlier in the episode, as amazing as they are, I don't know if their stuff held up as well time-wise. I just think there's been a lot of changes since their time frame of stand-up. I think Lenny Bruce, he might have held up better over time. Richard Pryor, like I mentioned, is really, really good. He does tell pretty specific stories, and I think that gives the audience either the ability to love it more than anything or not always be able to relate or at least keep going with the bit, whereas George Carlin, like I said, is kind of the most carefully planned in his word choice, and I think that really helps him kind of have his longevity in stand-up comedy, and he was able to keep going for a while. You might have actually seen him, I think he was a correspondent on Bill Maher for a little bit. He did end up getting much more political towards the tail end of his career. He always was, but that kind of started to come out more and more later in his life. The other thing about George Carlin specifically is that even with his bits being politically charged and relevant at the time, I think he did a really good job of taking relevant topics and making them universal, and that's another aspect that attributes his success even in today's YouTube world, I guess you could say. I think his bits have to be in the millions. The bit that I played by Richard Pryor is at over 1 million views. So as you can see, these comedians have definitely made their mark in the stand-up world. And thanks to the power of YouTube and internet technology, we can hear them today. Going off that note, there's obviously so much comedy that can be listened to thanks to the internet. And I definitely recommend anybody who considers themselves to be a comedy lover, expand your horizons, listen to older stand-up. Even if you're not necessarily into it, you're going to hear some really cool styles and some delivery. So make sure you keep on listening, just as I hope you keep on listening to this show, Finding the Funny. I'm hoping to have some upcoming shows where I get to talk about comedy in TV, comedy in web sketches, and sketch comedy in general, as well as, of course, I want to have an episode on women in comedy. You probably saw Amy Schumer just had her special come out on Netflix. I definitely recommend it, although I will say Schumer, I think, had a lot stronger specials at the start of her career, and you can hear more thoughts on that in later episodes of Finding the Funny, so make sure you keep on listening, and if you disagree, you know where to reach me, Finding the Funny on Twitter. That'll do it for today's episode of Finding the Funny. A big thank you to everybody who listened and everybody who contributes. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode, and as always, keep on laughing.
And when little Jimmy went back home, he did listen to his mummy. And he did listen to his daddy. And little Jimmy did listen to his brothers and his sisters. Sometimes. Little Jimmy listened very carefully to everybody. And then little Jimmy still did whatever he wanted to do. But at least he listened. Little Jimmy, don't close the book. It's not the end.